today used to be called Martinmas, the same word construction as Christmas, St. Martin's Mass. So universally honored was this first non-martyr of the Catholic Church, that he was considered the patron of the whole world. And his feast came to be an autumn Thanksgiving feast with the eating of a goose, which is the actual origin of our Thanksgiving. But that's another story. Today, of course, is the old Armistice Day, and now it is Veterans Day. A grateful nation remembers with respect all of those who have served in the armed forces and have died in our many wars. Appropriately enough, St. Martin, you see him there, dressed in his Roman military uniform, is the patron saint of soldiers, but curiously enough, he is also the first conscientious objector. Saints are paradoxes, that is to say, a bundle of seeming contradictions. This saint, who was such a fighter and a brave soldier, perfectly fulfilled St. Paul's admonition in the epistle today, bearing with one another and forgiving one another. Turn your eyes to the gospel. This saint saw and he suffered from his fair share of tares, of weeds in our Lord's field, but he suffered them both to grow until the harvest, the weeds and the wheat, as the Lord of the harvest commanded. He was always a monk, and yet at the same time, he was a relentless and almost restless missionary who rooted out paganism in a methodical, calm, brave fashion, wherever he found it. The weed killer he employed was prayer and penance, and then miracles came with his exorcisms. Now, I think most of you know the basic story of St. Martin, the soldier who one day in the winter outside of Amiens in France saw a poor beggar, and as young soldiers will, he didn't have any money left, and so all he had was his great Roman soldier's cloak of wool, and he got his sword and he cut it in half, gave half to the beggar, and rode on. That night he saw in a dream our Lord wearing that same half of a cloak and saying, "Martin, while he was still just a catechumen, clothed me with his garment, because whatever you do to the least of my brethren, you do to me." Martin, after that dream, hastened to find a bishop to have himself baptized, and then sought for an opportunity to leave the Roman army, because back then, in the 4th century, it was considered incompatible for a baptized Christian to serve in what was very much a pagan army. And for a follower of the Lamb of God to shed blood, it was not done. Well, the emperor came to town, Julian the Apostate, because the Franks, the barbarians, were invading Roman Gaul, and there was a war on. He saw this as his opportunity, and young Martin steps forward and refuses the war bonus the emperor offered, and said instead that he wanted to be discharged, for he was a Christian. Well, Julian was furious, doubly so, accused him of being a coward and a traitor. And young Martin reared himself up and he said, "I am not a coward. If you want, I'll stand in the front line tomorrow without a sword and without a shield, but I am not a coward, sir." "Agreed," Julian said. He was kept under guard and meant to be produced the next morning, but instead the barbarians, the Franks, sued for peace. And Martin was freed of his military obligation and went off to find St. Hilary, who made him an exorcist. And then he went home to Hungary, to see about his parents. He converted his mother, but he was unable to convert his father, which is interesting. And all the time he got into fights about the faith with the Arians. It was a remarkable paradox that he who fought so bravely with the Arians And as usual, you know, in religious discussions, if you can't win the argument, you can always beat up the person. Well, he defended our Lord's divinity, but he never would raise a fist to defend his own, Martin's, humanity. And this disgusted his father, who was a pagan. And that's all he knew was beating and fighting. And Martin was driven out of Hungary and out of Italy and then back to France, where he founded the first monastery, Mar Moutier. And there he started working miracles. Word got around. The people of Tours, not so far away from Poitiers, they needed a bishop. And they tricked him out of his monastery and into town, and they took him by force and they made him bishop. And he then, by the gentle force of prayer, of penance, made France Christian. All the while putting up with tolerating in his apostolic field of endeavor a bushelful of thistles and thorns. He had to suffer his whole life long, you might say, weeds with attitude. He bore not only the attacks of heretics against him, but also the jealousy of his brother bishops, who didn't like him because he never cut or combed his hair, and he wore animal skins, and he rode a mule, and they didn't think he had any business being a bishop. Even his own priests criticized him and were disrespectful to him to his face, especially one Bryce. All the more galling, he had raised this man since he was a boy, educated him himself, and ordained him. And now he treated him with open contempt. "Why don't you do something about that Bryce?" the others would say to him. And St. Martin would only answer, "Oh, no, 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 our Lord had his Judas, and I must have my Bryce." Then a heresy came, kind of a New Age or Gnostic movement, such as we hear about still today. It got root in Spain and was spreading throughout the empire, and there were some bishops who wanted to go to the government and give the government power over the church to root out this heresy. And some bishops went so far as to advocate torture and the wholesale arresting of so-called heretics. And St. Martin said, "Don't do it. The innocent will be arrested and punished along with the guilty, and you'll see all you'll do is just make heroes out of those heretics." That is exactly what happened. But St. Martin, for his efforts, was falsely accused of favoring the heresy himself. But St. Martin stood for Christian charity and common sense and the rights of the Catholic Church. He would never allow government interference in the faith. Finally, of all the things St. Martin had to bear his whole life long, he had to bear the devil. On his way to Hungary, the first time after he left the army, the devil appeared to him and told him, "Wherever you go, whatever you do, you will find me against you." And he had to battle the devil his whole life long. He would often appear to him in sometimes confusing or disgusting disguises. But St. Martin never banished the devil when he did an exorcism by means of threats or by terror or getting angry. No, no, he used prayer and sackcloth and ashes. And that way he was able to subdue demons and make them yield. A little bit the same way, really, he treated people, especially when they got the devil in them. Regardless of what they did, no one ever saw Martin angry or upset with another or laughing at someone else's expense. He was serene. He was tranquil in all of the problems of life, always united with God by means of constant prayer. Now, what was it that Martin would not tolerate? He would not tolerate paganism, and he would not tolerate heresy, and he worked constantly to uproot it, literally to chop it down, because the Celtic pagans worshipped trees. And more than once, he bravely offered to stand in the path of a falling tree, because he knew God would protect him, and the pagans that way had their eyes opened to the truth. What about us today in a pagan world? How to know the difference? When to just let the weeds be, and when to take axe in hand and attack the tree? Counsel, good counsel from heaven. We need it. And so we rejoice to see her who is the mother of good counsel over our altar as we begin the indulgence devotion this morning with gratitude. We ask Mary to teach us the science of the saints as heavenly prudence. Let us ask for three things in particular today. And the first of these is to see, to understand why. The big why. Does God permit evil in general, in the church, in my own life? Very often. So, for a time, we're meant to tolerate this evil. In a word, in order to avoid something worse, more sinning, or perhaps to anticipate something better, a conversion. And never forget, in the matter of evil in this world, your three P's. Patience and dependence. Who doesn't need an increase of both of those? And what about purgatory? Do you really think that it will not be waiting for you at the end of your days? Shouldn't you try to shorten it now by patiently bearing up and performing this penance? Saint Martin, last of all, I think, is a good patron saint to figure out the problem of war today, and also the wars of Holy Communion, as I will call them. That is to say that Saint Martin left the army because it was pagan and he was a Christian. Now, what would we have to say about the modern military today? It is pagan for many reasons. But just consider the promiscuous mixing of the sexes and all of the horrible occasions of sin and mortal sins which this feminist liberal matter produces. Veterans, the army of today, I'm afraid, is far different from what you may remember. And St. Martin, he would not fight in a just war, that is to say, to defend his country against invaders. That's how strict he was. What on earth would he say about wars which are planned and manipulated by the ancient enemies of the Catholic Church? World War I ended 90 years ago at 11 o'clock this morning. It was the war which saw Christians slaughter each other in the unheard of hundreds of thousands. And for what? To make the world safe for democracy? When presidents talk that way, you know they are lying to you. It was to make the world safe for communism and for Zionism and ready for another war. This war was already planned and announced in 1903 by the Zionists as a necessary step in the creation of their state of Israel. Little has changed since then, and it may be that we Catholics tolerate far too much. Finally, I find it interesting and comforting to consider Saint Martin as patron saint of the Communion War. What do I mean? That is to say that there are some clergy who refuse Holy Communion to us, although we profess the same faith and worship as they. And we, for our part, refuse to receive communion with those who use our same worship, the Latin Mass, but in union with this frightful one-world church and all of its heresies. St. Martin, for a long time, refused communion with those bishops who gave church authority to the government and whose hands had been bloodied, sometimes personally, with torture or persecution. And finally, St. Martin, who was under terrific pressure, relented in order to save many lives one day. But he always felt guilty about it later, and he declared that from that day forward, his exorcisms were always more difficult to perform since he had yielded. When to weed out and when to wait to tolerate. Sometimes I think it only on the day of the harvest that we will know for sure. St. Martin, patron of the whole world, in the meantime, teach us patience. God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.